Good evening, children.
No, I don't. She's just...
Yeah.
Got a big chair.
Well, the junior one always has to get teased.
I call the August 19th Planning Commission meeting to order. Excuse me. Thank you. Commissioner Hetherington, would you lead us in the Pledge to the Flag? Thank you, Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Present.
Commissioner Marks?
Here.
Commissioner Moreno?
Here.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Here.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Here.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Here.
All present.
Thank you, Suzanne. Our first item of business is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Second?
Well, I'll second.
Okay, I believe the motion was made by Commissioner O'Keefe and second by Commissioner Hetherington. Excuse me? Moreno. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. It's now time for public comment, and if anybody would like to speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction, please approach the podium and state your name for the record. Seeing none, I'll close the public comment portion, bring it back for Planning Commission business. Let's have disclosure of ex parte communications. Commissioner Marks, would you start?
Yes. I visited sites on items 4, 5, and 6 today.
I visited all the sites, and I spoke with Mr. Newlander, who is a neighbor on the Marchant Avenue project.
I visited all the sites, and I spoke with David Chambers, who is the applicant of the Marchant project.
I visited all the sites but did not speak with anyone.
I visited the sites on 3, 5, and 6, and likewise talked to Mr. Newlander.
I visited all the sites except item 3. On item 4, that's the Amapoa site. There was a neighbor there, and spoke with him, and his comment was that some of the existing trees on the subject property are damaging his fence.
I spoke to Mr. Chambers on the Marchant Avenue project. He's the owner.
Thank you. Let's move on to the consent agenda, and our first item is approval of the minutes of the regular Planning Commission meeting of July 15, 2008. Do I have a motion or any? Yes, Commissioner Heather Moreno?
The Heather that's thrown.
Yes, it is. It's been a long day.
On the minutes, the, let's see, page 4, my comment about trying the economic feasibility, it wasn't on trying to camouflage, it was the economic feasibility of a study necessitating, you know, the exact height of the antenna.
Any other corrections to the July 15th minutes? I have a correction. I believe John Neal, who is mentioned in this, is spelled N-E-A-L, not N-E-I-L.
No, I think that's incorrect. I think they have it right.
They may have. I thought I have already spelled it the other way, so it could be me. I'm not the world's greatest spelling.
Staff clarify?
Let's do that and have
we'll double-check that.
Thank you. Okay, do I have a motion for approval of the July 15th minutes with corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Marks, seconded by Commissioner O'Grady. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I abstain. I was not present.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-1 with one abstention. Excuse me.
Thank you. Our next item would be approval of the minutes of the meeting of August 5th, 2008. Are there any corrections? Seeing none, do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Commissioner Moreno?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. Our next item is PLN 2008-1277, which is a precise plan and tree removal permit on San Marcos Road. Staff report, please.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Steve McHarris, Deputy Community Development Director. I'm just simply going to introduce Scott Kaiser. Scott's to my left here. Scott will be presenting this tree removal to you. This is the first time he's given a presentation to the Planning Commission. He's our planning intern. He's been with us for about a year and a half now. And if you've come to our planning service counter, public counter, quite often you will encounter Scott as well, especially during the summertime. So we have Scott today, and we'll likely have Scott for possibly another year. So with
Thank
that,
you.
We'll introduce
Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
We try not to bite your head off tonight.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. The project we have before us tonight is a request to remove one 38-inch blue oak at 10560 San Marcos Road. This is the project location. San Marcos Road is bordering the project location to the southeast with Escondido to the northeast. The general plan designation is rural estate. The zoning is residential suburban. The project is currently 6.92 acres. There is a fairly dense tree canopy consisting of native oak trees. The project site slopes steeply from San Marcos Road downhill to the rear of the lot. The site is currently vacant. This picture here shows the proposed building site of the residence. This tree here is the proposed tree for removal. This picture here just shows the driveway approach down to the building site. This picture here shows the steep slopes down from San Marcos Road up here at the top of the hill, downhill to the building site, and then it continues to slope down to the back of the lot. As you can see, there are quite a few native oak trees on the site. This is the proposed site design and improvements as analyzed in your staff report. The tree proposed for removal is right here in the middle of the proposed residence. The proposed residence will incorporate a series of stem wall foundations. The stem wall foundation is to limit the grading, which will reduce the impacts to the surrounding native trees. The stem wall foundations are consistent with the hillside grading standards. There is one tree proposed for removal. Again, it's located in the middle of the proposed residence. It's a 38-inch blue oak. There's a total of 20 native trees being impacted by this proposed residence. However, none of the other trees will be impacted over 35%. These red lines here show the approved tree protection fencing as suggested by the arborist. The Atascadero Native Tree Ordinance requires that any native tree removals be mitigated through a tree removal mitigation fund. This particular 38-inch blue oak, The total payment into the mitigation fund is $633.33. With Commission's approval of this project tonight, the project will be subject to these conditions and mitigation measures. The applicant shall be required to pay into the tree removal mitigation fund a total of $633.33. Tree protection fencing shall be required through all phases of construction as recommended by the arborist. The arborist will be on site periodically through different phases of construction for monitoring, and the applicant shall follow the other arborist recommendations as outlined in the report as well. An on-site pre-construction meeting with the city, an arborist, applicant, and grading contractor prior to the issuance of permits shall be required. And the mitigation measures outlined in the CEQA document are also required to be followed by the applicant. These are the findings as indicated in the staff report. Staff recommends the commission approve this request to remove one native blue oak 38 inches in diameter and certify the mitigated negative declaration. That concludes staff's report. We are here for any questions.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions for staff? Commissioner Hetherington?
Scott, when I went out to the site, the sign was pushed over, and I couldn't find the marking on the tree. Is the tree for removal in the photos that you have up there?
Yes, it is. This tree right here is the tree that's being proposed for removal. There, it is marked, but yeah, unless you actually go down into the building site and kind of look on the back of the tree, it is marked, but that's the tree right there.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Moreno?
Hi, Scott. I had heard you say that the 20 trees, you know, besides the one being removed, would be impacted less than 35%. Did I hear it correctly? The report says 45%, so is that a typographical?
Yeah, the native tree ordinance requires mitigation bonds for any trees that are impacted over 45%. So these trees are not being impacted over 45%. They're only being impacted less than 35%. So there's no additional mitigation required.
Okay, so it's specifically saying 45% just because that is the limit, but you're saying that...
Yes, 45% is the threshold.
Even 10% but better than that.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Would you address the six trees that were cut down? There were tree stumps that were identified. And also the fact that a road has been punched in there, and apparently that was done some time ago.
Yes, this actually was a lot split in 2002, I believe, and at that time is when we believe that this road, the access road that you see right here, was punched through previous to these owners. There are several stumps that have been identified as oak tree stumps out there. I've spoken with the arborist, and he seems to think they are about 5 years old. We've looked at some old aerials of the site, and it seems to confirm that.
Thank you.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Welcome, Mr. Kaiser. My concerns had to do with fire. And in perusing the drawings, I saw some fairly steep slopes on those access driveways, and then I saw that kind of hairpin turn there on that the vertex on that angle, and it looked fairly acute angle there. And I wonder if you could comment on the fire department's involvement with this particular project.
The fire department has reviewed the plans, and they have approved them as is.
Any other questions? Thank you, Scott. I'd like to open this to the applicant if they'd like to speak on this matter. Okay, then I'll open it to the public. If you'd like to speak on this item, please approach the podium.
Steven Alvarez, A&T Arborist, 1565 El Camino Real. I just want to address the workings with the Planning Commission and the developer and the engineer. We went back and forth several times trying to do the best thing for the trees on this lot. And it's a very hard lot to deal with the trees and the slope. And taking into consideration all the trees that are around it, I think they did a very excellent job working with us and making sure that the trees were impacted the minimal amount.
Mr. Alvarez, are you speaking on behalf of the applicant?
Yes, they're not going to be here. They told me they weren't going to be here, and I would be the only one. But I just wanted to let you all know that it was a very fortunate thing to work with these people and the Planning Commission on this development. They're getting harder and harder, these lots, and we're tightening up our perspectives on our reports to make sure that the mitigation measures are focused on extremely.
Would you mind answering some questions if they arise on this?
Of course.
Are there any questions for Mr. Alvarez? Ms. O'Keefe.
I just want to make a comment. I thought they did an excellent job with everybody working on this on a site-sensitive development project. The stem wall certainly helps. Angling the garage also reduced the impact. So while it was a difficult site, it appeared to me that there's really basically minimal impacts. My concern, of course, was the fact that trees were removed to make it a more sellable lot. And I have a hunch that some trees were removed and the stumps removed when they punched in the, you know, that driveway there. But that's not the applicant's fault. I think they've really done a very good job.
Yes.
Any other questions? Commissioner Marks.
I wanted to commend the applicant for installing or planning to install solar water heating. Do you have any idea if the applicant also considered photovoltaics?
No, we didn't get involved with that at all.
Okay. Okay. Well, I agree with Commissioner O'Keefe. Such a stem wall application was excellent, and it appeared that you attempted to reduce impacts on trees.
Yeah, the way it came at us first, they were going to be 2 feet away from that trunk line on number 11, tree 11, and we said, you got to come back, and we got the assurance from the soils that they wouldn't have to do an over-X on that, which was good, and we'll be there watching it when they pull it out for the foundation, too.
Did I read the drawings correctly? It's been a while. You're going to also plant some native trees?
That won't be us. That will okay. be the landscapers.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Alvarez. Would anybody else like to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring it back to the Commission for deliberation. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Second.
Let's go ahead with the motion first. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay.
We'll call that in advance.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0042 to allow the removal of one blue oak totaling 38 inches DBH subject to conditions of mitigation consistent with the Atascadero Native Tree Ordinance.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner O'Keefe, seconded by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
What did I miss here? Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. We'll now go to the public hearing portion of the meeting, and our first item is Plan 2008-1302, which is an amendment of circulation conditions. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. This next item before you is an amendment to the West Front Village project, specifically a traffic condition that was implemented with the project. The project is located along West Front Road at the intersection of Portola Road and is adjacent to the intersection of West Front and Santa Rosa Road. This intersection was conditioned with the original project to include a median that would restrict some turning movements from West Front Road in this location here. So the project was approved on September 27th in 2005. It was part of a planned development project, which included a hotel, some retail development, and some residential development. As I mentioned before, there was a condition to construct a median in Santa Rosa Road at the intersection of West Front Road. In June 2008, this year, the median was installed. We did hear about some neighborhood concerns with the median and the restricted turning movements, and the city engineer did hold some public meetings to discuss that with the neighborhood. The city engineer filed an application to eliminate the condition which required the median so that the median can be removed, as he feels this is the best solution for that intersection. So now I'm going to turn it over to the city engineer, and he can describe the conditions that's out there and what will be constructed if this condition is eliminated.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you very much, Kelly. As Kelly stated, we did install a median at this location, and the reason for the median was to restrict left turns in and out of West Front Road on the south side of Santa Rosa Road. Left turns through there can congest the area, and our thoughts were that the public could use Old Santa Rosa Road up the road further in order to access West Front Road. There was a condition of approval to require that intersection, West Front and Old West Front Road, be repaved by the developer. The signal system that we put in on the interchange was received fairly well by most of the public. The median was not. We received 30 to 40 phone calls, letters, emails, not liking the median because it restricted access to West Front. So based on that public input, we held a public meeting. 30, 35 residents showed up and expressed their concern and dislike about the median because it restricted their ability to go home and to commute in and out of West Front Road. Based on that, I met with our traffic engineer to look for solutions to come up with how people could use West Front Road and at the same time not degradate the level of service of the interchange. And what you see on the screen right there is an idea that the consultant came up with. We'd basically be removing the median and placing a left-hand turn pocket in the middle of Santa Rosa Road. The red arrow that goes through shows that the trips going to the west on Santa Rosa Road would still allow it to go through. There would also be a keep clear zone for eastbound traffic on Santa Rosa Road, so when the signal was red, vehicles would be able to turn. The turning movement's fairly small, so the turn pocket is fairly small, being able to hold one to two cars in that turn pocket. One of the conditions we also had, as I addressed earlier, was to pave Santa Rosa Road and Old Santa Rosa Road. Based on this turning movement, there would be a reduced trips onto Old Santa Rosa Road. So if we did install this turn pocket, I'm recommending that we take out the condition for the developer to pave that road. Not that I'm against paving. I like all our roads to be well paved. However, I don't believe it's a fair mitigation measure on our developer to require him to do that based on the fact that he's not causing any more trips now to go down Old Santa Rosa Road. So I am happy that the public came forward and expressed their concern and happy that I could come up with a solution for them. I did apologize to the group for not talking to them sooner. They were disappointed that we didn't get full public input on this. We went ahead and put that in without their input. So I did apologize for that. However, this step will allow the removal of the median and the access to that neighborhood. And with that, I'll turn it back to Kelly for the completion of the presentation.
Thank you, Steve.
So the removal of the condition is consistent with the original certified mitigated negative declaration. The original neg deck did not specify traffic mitigation measures. It referred to the traffic report and maintaining a level of service. And so the city engineer does believe that this is consistent with that original analysis. As always, the Planning Commission has alternatives that are listed in your staff report for the item tonight. And staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution before them to approve elimination of that condition and allow for removal of the median that was recently installed. And that does conclude staff's presentation. City Engineer and I are here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions? Commissioner O'Keefe.
Is there going to be a left turn arrow? Where?
In the turn pocket?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Steve, how can we prevent not including the neighborhood in decisions like this in the future?
Well, the lesson I learned on this one is when you put in traffic mitigation measures that affect any neighborhood, during the study of that mitigation measure, you should include them in the mailing list and the study, because as I worked with the developers of the West Front Development, we were looking for mitigation measures. We came up with a traffic signal idea. It seemed like a good mitigation measure. Like I said earlier, it has been working well, been received fairly well. The idea of the median came in to restrict lefts through there, like I talked about earlier. So what probably should have happened is during the traffic study part, we should have had a neighborhood workshop in order to get input from the public on that particular. So my suggestion to answer your question would be is to have workshops on any neighborhood that is affected by a traffic mitigation device that would affect their daily circulation. Because I didn't realize that, you know, what a great effect it would have on Old Santa Rosa Road. The public came forward, told me about it. I went out there, did personal traffic counts, and saw the increased traffic impacts and came up with this idea with the traffic engineer. So that would be the answer to the question.
Well, I applaud you for the solution. I guess I just want to avoid having it happen again. And I know that's probably not a policy in the government, but I'm glad that you're going to pay attention to
it. Yes, and I did apologize to them for not including them earlier. It was missed by me.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Are any city funds involved in this item?
No, they're not. I've met with the developer, and he approves of me, you know, trying to mitigate this problem, and he told me that he would pay for all of this work.
So the extra costs involved with the demolition of the median and the repaving and the striping will be at least offset by not paving Old Santa Rosa. Is that fair?
I don't know the cost comparison to them, but the developer told me he'd pay for all the work. The city will not be paying for anything.
Okay.
So. And he also paid for the additional traffic studies to come up with this solution.
Let me take this opportunity to ask this question, because I wasn't on the commission at the time that this went forward. But those traffic signals are not, I'm not sure the correct word, computerized or sensorized, or where a car pulls up, or if there's no car there, they automatically go to where the cars are. And I wondered why that was not done.
I could you repeat the question? I didn't quite understand it. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
So many the modern traffic signals now employ embedded sensors at the intersections.
Oh,
that will control the traffic and reduce idling and expedite the flow of traffic. And I don't think that intersection has it. And I wondered why not.
We're actually more technologically savvy than that. What you're talking about, it's a great question. They're called traffic loops, and when you drive across the asphalt, you look down and you'll see little marks in the asphalt where when vehicles sit there, there's a magnetic detector that detects the vehicle, sends a signal to the signals, and it triggers the traffic turning. Well, what we've done now is we actually have cameras, and these cameras don't spy on people, so they merely count the cars. Yeah, exactly. So they count the cars, and they count the cars in all directions. And what's the good thing about this is when we repave the road, we don't have to put new traffic loops in. The monitors work. Or if the volume changes, we adjust the cameras. The signals also are all interconnected. So we've interconnected the one on the northbound ramps, the southbound ramps, and the one in El Camino Real, so that they all work together. And we're still fine-tuning them. The signal on El Camino Real is running a little bit too long, so we're going to be reducing the timing on that through El Camino Real because we've had some complaints about that. So this is totally modern equipment.
Wow, I'm glad I asked. Thank you.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Following up on that, do those cameras detect bikes?
They do.
Well, that's strange because there's, a left-hand turn at the signal at San Gabriel.
Yes.
Okay. I have a little motor scooter that is considered a bike. But when I want to get into the left-hand turn lane, I sit and I sit and I sit. So I've learned to avoid that. How come they're not taking my picture?
Well, first of all, just so everyone's clear, they don't take pictures. I just want that real, real clear. And we don't have a recording device for them. However, are you talking about San Gabriel and State Route 41?
Yeah.
Okay, at San Gabriel and State Route 41, these signals on Santa Rosa, they're city-owned. They're city property. We like using cameras. Caltrans doesn't. Caltrans does not allow cameras to be used on state routes. So that's why we did not use cameras on San Gabriel and State Route 41.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Jacks?
I'd like to make a motion.
No, we haven't had the public comment.
I also have something.
Commissioner Marks?
Thank you for answering my questions today, Steve. Before this current installation with the median, the level of service was F, as I understand.
The level of service was very, very poor, as most of us know. And in preparation for this meeting today, I couldn't find anywhere where a report said F. I don't think it was F. It was very poor, but it wasn't F.
Okay. Current level of service is?
I'm projecting the current level of the traffic engineer projected to be a current level of service of C. We have not done traffic studies, traffic counts, delay studies, no, but I think it's operating at a very good level of service.
Okay, yeah, that's very good. So now, as I understand it, the city's minimum level of acceptance is D?
That's correct.
Okay. Should we approve this tonight and take this median out, will the current level of service, which you say is about a C, will that change?
No. The vehicle stacking in that turn pocket shouldn't slow down getting off of US 101 on US 101 or any of the movements, so it shouldn't degradate the level of service at all. About the only time I could see it could hurt the level of service, if you had a lot of cars stacking in there and they couldn't turn and they were blocking the right-of-way. But because of the keep clear zone and the small amount of vehicles that actually turn there, I don't foresee that being a problem.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Let's open this to the public. If you'd like to speak on this item, approach the podium and give your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Tony Paradis. I live on Old Santa Rosa Road. First of all, I'd like to thank the commission for considering this situation. Thank you, Steve, for really putting up with us because we know we gave you a hard time. However, I just wanted to point out that on Santa Rosa Road, there's an elementary school, and there's a lot of traffic when school is in. When this project was produced, school was out. So there was a lot of level of traffic. But once school starts, the level of traffic is just crazy trying to come over the bridge. And I live right there on the corner, so I see it all. You know, and the medium, it's not a big issue going around the medium to go home. The issue is the traffic on Old Santa Rosa Road and down through the school, Santa Rosa to Old Santa Rosa School. So I would really hope that you would take these things with the school in consideration. There's a lot of children on that street, and the traffic, it would be nice not to have that much traffic. Unfortunately, they don't look at this. They look at this road like it is a new paved road, and the people that come down that road come down at high levels of speed, and it's scary. I'm afraid to pull out of my driveway sometimes. It's just off the wall. But I'm really happy with what Steve came up with, and I think that most of the neighborhood is. And once again, sorry for giving you such a hard time. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
My name is Barbara Sims, and I live at 10835 Colorado Road. First of all, contrary to what Steve has said about the light system, it has not been that well received by the neighborhoods. We were told that the lights would cycle differently than they are cycling now. I personally have sat at that light site, watched it cycle through twice and not moved across that bridge. We were told the lights would cycle one way and then one the other way to alleviate people sitting in line trying to turn left with nobody can go anywhere. Okay? The other issue was that we were also told that they would fix the right-hand turn off of West Front onto eastbound Santa Rosa. Currently, you're pushed up against the curb. You can't see the light. You can't get your car out We were told that would be pushed out and bulbed out so that you wouldn't be pushed up against the curb. I don't hear any comment about that being fixed. So I'd like to see the lighting cycles addressed. We were also told there was a possibility we'd have left-hand turns going on the freeway, both directions, south and north. There were some other alternatives that were to come up with for the lighting system. So currently, I don't feel the lights are working properly or doing anything to alleviate the traffic going across that bridge. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Hello, my name's Alana Reynolds. I own a home on West Front. And I also was in touch with the office, including Steve, a couple times, and appreciate that I got an actual phone call, not just a letter, about tonight's meeting. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Most of the time when I'm doing the overcrossing there, the lights are working. My real concern, and I definitely am in support of getting rid of the median, is when you're using Old Front Road, it's a pretty much one-lane road. So we've turned that into a thoroughfare. There is a fire station two doors away from the property I own on West Front. When they leave to go over to the Christian Care, almost daily, I understand, they have to take Old Santa Rosa, which means you now have a large vehicle like a fire truck who is in a hurry if he's leaving there. And if it's garbage day and the garbage trucks are out, you now have two major vehicles on a one-lane road in a very tiny residential. This is definitely created a problem. I'm sure the fire department has been involved in this conversation. So based on those, as well as the traffic fiasco up at the corner, moving traffic over to Old Santa Rosa, I think, was a major, major mistake. And I always feel guilty when I go through there. I feel I have to slow to about 15 because I feel I'm driving on somebody's driveway. So I absolutely am in agreement and hope for all of your support in getting rid of the median. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. Would anybody else like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring some questions back. I think this will be for you, Steve.
The first one
was Tony, and she had some questions about the school and speed.
Tony's concern was just that the school traffic went fast and that the repair or the putting the traffic onto Old Santa Rosa Road and the school traffic were too much for the road, and that the relieving of this traffic off of Old Santa Rosa Road would help it. That's what I got from her comment.
I think she was stating that there was an excessive speed when school is in session sometimes, and she could see that from her home.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, and I don't think that, you know, this particular project, I don't know that we're doing anything with that.
Okay.
If I can correct myself if I'm wrong.
Okay, so this project will have no effect on the speed further down the road towards the school?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
The only thing I could see that could have an effect on speed would be if a vehicle is going eastbound on Santa Rosa Road and they see they have a green signal ahead of them, they would go a little faster, whereas if there's a stop sign every time, they would have to stop every time. So that's about the only effect on speed I could see on Old Santa Rosa Road.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. And then our next speaker was Barbara Sims. She had said that the lights don't cycle.
Yeah, let me explain that for you, and I've talked to her about this before. Basically, during the early stages of this project, we had looked at what's called a permissive left. And what that is a signal would go green for a while, and then there'd be a left arrow, and you'd be able to turn left on the US 101, whether it be northbound or southbound. This would require the other way to be a red, because you can't let someone turn left with a green arrow while someone's allowed to go through. So our traffic engineers looked at that, and they felt it would lower the level of service because the bridge deck is so small for the storage of vehicles. There's nowhere to hold the vehicles, and your delay would be longer. So that idea was not thought of as a good idea because of the level of service. Now, at times, I will agree that at times there are vehicles that are turning left that do block the through traffic, and thereby people do get delayed. but traffic engineers felt that the permissive left always happening would not override those vehicles turning left. And if there was a way to educate the public that was wanting to turn left, if they would only pull a little further into the intersection and pull over a little bit, a lot more people could get by them. That's more of just a driver courtesy and a driver thinking about people around them. The other issue she brought up, I would agree with her. We are planning to do this. Drawing doesn't show it, and we are planning to do it right in there. A vehicle is shoved up against the right-hand side, and when you're there, stage for a green, it is difficult to see the green arrow, and you can become confused. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that little area in the middle of the road, we're going to move it to the side of the road and allow vehicles to stack further away from the signal, thereby as they're stacked there waiting for the signal, they can better see the green or the red. So this drawing doesn't exhibit that, but that is part of our plans.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And our last speaker, Elena Reynolds, had a question about the fire department and the use of Old Santa Rosa.
Yeah. We have been, obviously, I work closely with Kurt Stone, the fire chief. I have walked this with them, rode this with them, and the fire department is okay with this plan. What her comment is, I believe, is that fire vehicles have to go down that road coming back from the station, and that increases traffic on the road. And I also talked to Chief Stone about it. Said a lot of times they go for calls on the west side of town. They don't use Old Santa Rosa Road because it's so narrow. They use the other roads near the fire station, San Rafael and San Gabriel. So they're trying to avoid that, but there are times when they will have to use that road to go to an emergency.
And she also mentioned a problem with the garbage truck. If the fire truck goes by, is it too narrow?
It's a very narrow road. There's some beautiful big oak trees on that road, and two large vehicles like a garbage truck and a fire truck would have difficulty passing each other.
Thank you,
We
Steve.
Haven't got a solution for that.
Okay, very good. I think we are done with the questions. Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes, Mr. Kahn, back to Ms. Sims' comment about the lighting cycles and the stacking. And with that very sophisticated camera system that you discussed, why couldn't that camera system recognize that the stacking is occurring, in other words, that someone is wanting to turn left from the overpass onto 101, and only in those circumstances then turn the red light on and traffic going the other way and turn a green arrow until the traffic clears?
The cameras are sophisticated, but not that sophisticated. They can't tell that a vehicle's turning left. They only can tell that there's an object and it's there. They can't tell that it wants to turn left or not.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
With regard to that small left-turn pocket, how does it accommodate a semi? Because there are some big vehicles that are there. It looks to me like they'd be half in and half out and blocking the traffic from moving.
You're saying a semi turning left onto West Front?
Onto 101, excuse me. Turning left onto 101.
Yeah, a semi coming through there would. So you're saying if they're turning left off of 101?
They're going west, and they want to make a left turn to go north.
Yeah, they would be in the road, and they would have to wait for a clearance on the green ball, and then they'd have to move forward, and they would be blocking vehicles behind them until they were able to turn left.
Okay. All right.
And that's what occurs right now.
So it's just the best solution that you can come up with the difficult problem.
Yeah, and actually we looked at, since we want to get into the discussion, I looked at another alternative, and that was actually having turn pockets on the bridge. They would be short turn pockets on the bridge, so that the vehicles wanting to turn left would actually be out of the traveled lane. The problem was our travel lanes ended up being about 9 to 9.5 feet wide, each of them, three of them, to cram three cars in that bridge. And you'd have to be driving so carefully, you know, not to bump mirrors that. So the problem is the bridge is undersized. I mean, that's the real problem. We're trying to make it work.
Any other questions? Commissioner Hetherington?
Steve, does the city have Plan B and C? You know, I just see another nightmare happening here. I mean, you're going to remedy part of this nightmare with taking the median out, but then I don't see the level of service getting better or staying the same. I mean, if people come back to you in another large group after you take the median out, still dissatisfied, what will happen at that point?
Well, I don't, you know, keep my fingers crossed, but from a traffic engineering standpoint, I don't see another group coming at me, because this was really the concern, was being able to turn left onto West Front. So I don't see this solution causing another problem.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, audience. I don't know if you'd like to stay, but you're certainly welcome.
That's the most applause we've gotten all year, I'll tell you. Come on back next week, would you?
Thank you. Okay, our next item on the agenda is tentative tract map for 8391 Amapoa Avenue. Staff report, please.
Good evening, commissioners. Our next project tonight is going to be a tentative tract map. It's for a six-unit condo development.
Excuse me. Could you take that out in the lobby? We're kind of having some trouble here hearing. Thank you. Just one moment, Callie.
Well, sure.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Callie.
The zoning in this area is residential multifamily with 16 units per acre. It's a high-density residential designation in the general plan. Currently, it's a vacant lot, and the site area is about 0.346 acres. This is the site plan that's proposed. It's six airspace units on one common lot, and the project is set up with duplexes, so there's three structures total. Two units are designed at about 1,500 square feet, and four units are at about 2,100 square feet. The units include both one and two car garages, and there are three other guest spaces on the lot. And the site does meet the multifamily requirements for parking. Decorative concrete will be used here along the driveway and in the parking area. And there's an existing drainage area that's currently behind the lot. This drainage area has to be accessed by the City Public Works Department for maintenance. So this area will be left open. There won't be any decks built above it. So the city will need to access it through the backyards of the residences. This is the landscape plan that's been provided for the project. It's a preliminary landscape plan, so we will require a final plan with an irrigation plan and something to identify all of the different plants, the number of plants and sizes to be used. And that'll be required when we go in for building permits or when the applicant comes in for approval on those. The applicant has provided 300 square feet of open space per unit. It's located in the front on these front lots, and then in the back and sides of the units on the units in the back. There is landscape buffers provided all along the driveway, next to the porches and around the parking area. This really helps just to shield the houses and provide more green space on a fairly small lot. So staff believes that the applicant has done a good job of providing landscape where it's needed. These are the front elevations that will be facing Amapoa, building C and A. There were some comments that possibly this elevation could be improved with some larger windows, and that's something that the Planning Commission could choose to condition if they felt it was necessary, possibly just replace the two windows upstairs or the three on the bottom with one of these larger windows with shutters. These are the elevations that are facing the interior parking court. This is the one that will be seen from Amapoa at the terminus of the parking court. They all have porches, trellis features, and shutters, and there's varied roof lines to help break up the mass of the buildings. This project qualifies for a Class 3 and a Class 32 categorical exemption. And tonight, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution that's provided and approve the tentative track map as conditioned. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, Callie. Any questions for staff? Commissioner Moreno?
You said Public Works maintains the drainage in the back. And so does someone go to clean it out on a regular basis? I ask because the property just to the west, when I look back, there is littered with just a bunch of trash. So how does that keep from getting drained into the water?
I can answer that question. The drain behind the property is maintained by the Public Works Department, and every year, September, October, we go in there and do a clean sweep of it, and it's always, there's Christmas. We had a Christmas tree stuck in there one year, and it flooded all sorts of neighbors. So people throw all kinds of junk in there, and every year we clean it out.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
So this area will stay open the way it is right now?
I don't believe it drains back.
It has a little pitch towards Amapoa, true, but as far as with the building back there, you're going to get some runoff from the roof and rain and wherever the gutters are. I don't imagine the gutters are going to go all the way out to Amapoa.
Maybe I could speak on that as well. I know that the applicant does have French drains that are actually, they're a little bit larger than just standard French drains, but they're actually put along both sides of the property. There's a detail of it in your plans. And what it is they've buried it underground so that they can landscape on top of it and provide at least 5 feet of grass for the residents there. That way they won't have a drainage ditch in their backyard. They'll actually have grass, and the water will drain underneath. And there's also the standard basins up front, and then there's some, I believe, some drainage underneath the driveway. And the project engineer is here as well, so they can explain that a little bit more if you have additional questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Hetherington?
Is the driveway paved with impervious or pervious surface?
It would just be standard concrete, so it's an impervious surface. They're proposing scored and colored concrete.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Hi, Ms. Taylor. I'm used to seeing in the staff reports staff commentary on all of the findings that the commission is supposed to make. I did not find that on this one, and I wondered why it's not there.
It probably was just missed in this report.
Do you have any comments that you'd like to make tonight on any of the findings that might help guide the commission in their deliberations?
The staff does believe that it meets all of the findings. It's consistent with the general plan. It is meets the zoning requirements. It meets the density.
So you didn't have any concerns that you could alert us to that might need to be mitigated somehow or discussed at least?
No, not on this project. Okay. It actually is a standard, meets all the standard requirements for a duplex project on a multifamily site. So there's no reduced setbacks, no exceptions on this at all. All they're proposing is that it's overlaid with the condo map.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And just for your information, I believe it's on page 109. It's in a different position. It's in the draft resolution.
Yeah, I did see the findings. It was the editorial commentary.
Correct. Very good. Commissioner O'Keefe?
This is a question for Steve. In the back there where the drainage is, was this that whole area, there were major drainage problems at one time. Was that one of the corrective steps that was taken when that drainage was put in the back there?
There are two problems that happened with the drainage in that area. In 1995, when we had major rain in Atascadero, the levee going into Atascadero Lake that feeds Atascadero Creek, the flap gate closed, and this whole area was flooded. But most of that water was from the Atascadero Creek and Atascadero Lake. The other problem was when I talked about when we had a Christmas tree stuck in there, and that caused area flooding. But I think this ditch system was even put in before that system.
Okay.
There was a couple lawsuits based on that flooding, and actually when I first got here in about 2000, I installed a storm drain from Azucena over to this ditch. And that has been the only improvement that I know about for quite some time. So it's a fairly old system.
Okay. And did I understand correctly that it will now be covered rather than open?
No. We actually want it opened.
You do want it
open. Oh, yeah. Either you want it in a pipe or you want it open. Where we have a lot of problems with this is towards the end of this ditch at Kerberil, there's an old condominium development there that has decks that go over the ditch. And our staff has to climb in there and pull the decks off every year to clean it out. So we actually, this system, we want it open so that we can clean it out every year.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Steve, would it help if the driveway, rather than solid concrete, was a pervious zone as far as drainage, not adding to a potential flood situation?
There's not as much concern about flooding. The main reason why you'd want pervious concrete there is to improve your water quality. The more and more you can get your water back into the ground and not into a drainage system, the better. Carries the pollutants with it, recharge the groundwater. We're going to be hearing a lot more about this with the approval of NPDES Phase 2 and the stormwater management plan. I think what you're referring to is low-impact development.
Reducing them down to 3 to 2 with an office in these situations allowed them to eliminate 3 parking spaces from the project.
And in your opinion, is there room for an additional 3 parking spaces anywhere?
There's not on this lot. It was a very tight lot, so meeting it with, as it's designed right now, I think was the best solution. The idea is hopefully just that those people don't, you know, rent it out to a third person that would have a third car.
Right. Thank you. I'd like to open it to the applicant. If there is an applicant here tonight, would you please approach the podium? State your name for the record.
Sure. My name is Truett Vance at 5670 Violetta is where I live. Thank you, Callie, for your introduction, and I hope to answer the questions I've heard so far and any others that you guys have. Remind me if I miss one. First of all, it is an infill development with no exceptions asked or taken. We work pretty closely with the planning as they can tell you, to try to make sure that there wasn't any exceptions. It's surrounded by like-and-kind development, high density. It's basically the exact same thing that's bordered it on either side. The good things that this type of project, as you guys all know, that bring is utilizing the existing utilities that are already in place, reducing the demand on that infrastructure with, you know, along with traffic concerns and less sprawl. So I'm a huge fan of this type of development myself. The questions I heard that I'd like to address specifically are the drainage issues. Steve already covered most of the things, but I would like to point out that the impervious pavers have more or less been taken place by the French drains that have been designed. There's some down the middle of the driveway, and then also the ones down the side yard are basically doing exactly what the pervious pavers are supposed to do, but in my opinion, don't. Typically, if you install pavers the way they're supposed to be, the actual porosity is extremely low. There's actually an EcoPerm paver that you may have seen that has a 15% porosity if you installed in the loosest pattern, but actually the drainage that you get through is not even close. Once you compact the thing down to 90 to 95% compaction, is not even close to a French drain or just native grass or dirt. So it really it sounds good, but it's not a great solution. The French drains take the drains collect the water, go into a French drain, which is basically a pipe with holes facing down in the dirt. Those do slope back towards, some of them slope back towards the channel. There's an orifice that actually constricts the flow, so we're not actually discharging more post-dev into that channel, so we're not exacerbating the existing problem that we have with flooding. So that water will back up into the French drain system and help percolate into the ground through that. So after I'm done, if you have any additional questions, please feel free to ask about that. I guess that's pretty much all I heard that I thought I needed to respond to directly, but is there anything else, any other concern?
Any questions for Mr. Vance? Commissioner Marks?
Yes, sir. Mr. Vance.
Yes, sir.
you heard staff, I think, mention earlier about perhaps some architectural changes to Building C on the street side.
Is that facing the street side?
Mm-hmm.
Larger windows?
Yes. Do you have any problem with that?
No.
Okay, great. Also, have you been developing a homeowner's agreement?
The HOA would actually be covered in the CC&Rs.
Okay.
And there's a standard boilerplate that you start with and then add city requirements to and whatever else a developer would like in that particular HOA.
Okay.
Which is not done at this time, but would certainly be required by the city for plan, you know, in plan check,
yes,
and for the,
yes,
recordation of the final map.
The use of clotheslines, outside clotheslines,
mm-hmm,
would you be amenable to allowing those, or not at least not restricting them?
Yeah,
keeping them in the backyard.
I have done other developments, and this is came up, and I personally have no issues with it.
Okay.
And it's actually on a couple of things I've done. We wrote that specifically in there to allow
clotheslines.
That's correct.
Great.
And if you want to condition it or whatever, I don't think it'd be
okay.
An issue.
Very good. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Hello, Mr. Vance.
Which would make it more feasible to move forward. So, no, I can't stand here and guarantee that the project's going to get built, you know, as soon as construction documents are filed and the permits given. But that obviously is the intent and the hope. And these units are fairly, you know, they stack well structurally. They're not anything extravagant, you know, which, so as far as on that side of the equation, they are more or less as reasonable as they can be.
Right.
So I don't know of anything else within our power other than the economy, which last I checked, I can't change to be able to help me answer your question.
Well, I was thinking that you might have a nice niche here, and that
you know, we
might
actually
be an advantage.
Obviously, there is something we're trying to shoot for. There's a lot of things on the market that are smaller than these units. We think that there may be, you know, but we're also, this project would be competing with a varied scale down at Dove Creek and then a number of other projects in town that are sitting vacant that are smaller. So that's one thing I think that this project has going for it. It's, you know, close to town, affordable. Maybe even same price, but slightly bigger.
Well, thank you.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Just one simple question. Are the garbage cans going to be in the garage?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Vance? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak at the public comment portion of the hearing? Seeing none, go ahead. You just made it.
I didn't see the podium when I sat on the far side.
Alana Reynolds, still. I am actually in escrow to buy the house right behind this project. So it was a coincidence I was here tonight because I didn't know it. So one is whoever commented about the crap in the backyard over there, they've been out of there for quite a while, and escrows take a long time nowadays. So one of my concerns on this is how far the setback is in the back. It looked small on the plans, but can you tell me how far the setback is from the back of the property that's behind it?
I think we'll direct that one to staff. So any other questions, Elena?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak at public comment? Seeing none, I close this and bring the question back that Ms. Reynolds asked about the setbacks. Callie?
It is a 10-foot setback in the back of the lot.
10-foot,
so
yes.
Okay. Standard multifamily setback.
Okay, very good. All right, and I'd like the commission to deliberate, and let's have a motion.
Well, just my comment on deliberation is that I support Commissioner Marks's comments about the small windows and desire to improve the appearance of the sides of the buildings that have those small porthole windows, I guess I would call them. So I'd like to see some sort of condition that implements Commissioner Marks' comments.
Also, what about
can't hear
the clothes? I'm sorry, the clotheslines to be put in the CCN.
Okay. And just a question for you, Commissioner O'Grady. Was that the windows with the shutters or without the shutters?
Well, I'd like to defer that to Commissioner Marks since he brought that up. And I, when I heard his comments, I thought they were right on. So I defer it to him.
I think the applicant should work with staff on that.
Okay. Callie, is that acceptable, or did you want us to be more specific?
Maybe just, do you want them on the second story and the first story, or on both? Okay, so we'll do larger windows and work with the applicant on both the top and bottom
yes.
floor.
Okay, do I have a motion?
I'll try it.
Okay.
I move Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0041 approving tentative tract map 2007-0099 to establish 6 airspace condominium units on 1 common lot based on findings and subject to conditions. Condition 1, the windows on the units facing Amapoa be enlarged and the size of that be left up to staff and the applicant. Number 2, include the ability of occupants to use clotheslines in the HOA.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Jack and seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. Discussion?
I think we need to specify the windows have to do with Building C facing Amapoa.
Do you accept that amendment?
That pretty close to the Atascadero Lake Park, and San Francisco is currently a dirt road, and Marchant is a local road near Atascadero. It's zoned residential, single-family Y. To give you a little bit of background about why we're here tonight, the applicant originally applied for a building permit for an addition in May of this year. When staff was checking the building permit, it seemed that the GIS aerial view in our city system looked different than the site plan that was submitted, and that was due to the actual location of the pavement in relation to the right-of-way. Staff requested a site survey, and the applicant was able to provide this. What they found was that while the house is actually set back 25 feet from the edge of pavement, the actual right-of-way extends all the way up to 5 feet from the front of the house. A lot of roads in Atascadero are paved this way. There'll be 40 or 50-foot right-of-ways. Marchant has a 50-foot right-of-way. But the pavement will only be about 20 to 26 feet wide. So in this case, the original structure was built 5 feet from the edge of the right-of-way and 25 feet back from the edge of the pavement. The addition is being proposed directly adjacent to the existing house along the same elevations, basically, just to extend that out. The existing house is about 24 feet wide, and the elevation or the addition is proposed at the same width. Because of the curve along Marchant, the smallest point where it gets closest to the right-of-way is right adjacent to the existing house. It's about 5 feet there, and it extends to right around 15 feet at the edge of the property line. The applicant will be required to maintain a 5-foot setback from the side property line. During the survey, they also measured to see exactly where that side property line was located, and they found it was a little bit closer to the house than originally thought. Therefore, the plans that the commissioners received, I think they show a 27.6-foot addition. That's the length across this way. It'll have to be reduced to 23.75 feet. That's the maximum that can fit to maintain that 5-foot side setback. And we will work with the applicant during the building permit process to modify that and do site visits as needed to confirm with the stakes that they've put out on the site. Staff looked at a number of things when looking at the other options besides doing a variance. Because the house is so narrow, it's only 24 feet wide, pushing the addition back out of the setback would actually create a detached structure. To push it back 20-plus feet would make it so it's basically not connected to the house anymore. And they were trying to build a mother-in-law's quarters, a master suite on the end, and we wouldn't allow this in a detached structure because it would become a second unit and basically another living structure in the backyard. Another thing that we thought about were the native trees on site. Right now there's several large oak trees in the back of the lot that are pretty big, and they have large canopies that hang over. With the location of the proposed residence, they are able to stay out of the native oak canopy. Another thing that we looked at is called the variable setback block. This is something that the Atascadero Municipal Code allows. What it says is that if 25% of the lots on a block have less than the required 25-foot front setback and no uniform setback is established, then they are allowed to basically apply for this reduced setback. It's not considered a variance. It's just a standard allowance. In this case, this applicant wouldn't necessarily qualify for this because it only takes the average setback of all of the houses on the lot. That might not give them the 5-foot setback that they're looking for. And there is a minimum of 10 feet required, a 10-foot minimum setback. It would also require these other houses to be surveyed, which could be extremely expensive. So for those reasons, in this case, they've just opted to go for a variance to apply for the addition as proposed. The variance qualifies for a Class 5 categorical exemption, and that's for minor alterations in land use limitations, and that includes setback variances. These are the findings as listed in your staff report. And tonight, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the variance as proposed and subject to conditions of approval. And the applicant is here if you have any questions.
Great. Thank you, Callie. Any questions? Commissioner Hetherington?
Callie, I guess towards the San Francisco corner of the property, there's a row of trees that are pretty much right up on the road, which seems like it would be a benefit to, I guess, any traffic veering into, say, something that was as close to the road as that. Are there any plans for this street as far as widening it or doing anything different with those trees that are in that direct line?
Correct.
And so the cause of the current problem in 2008 is that a survey wasn't done then to ascertain where the right-of-way was.
Yes, that's correct.
And city policy is still not to require a survey in 2008.
That's correct. We don't always require a survey. We have so much data available to us at this point through our GIS system that a lot of times staff can just look on RGIS and see if they're pretty close. In a situation like this, when we have questions, we will ask for a survey to verify that they do meet setbacks. But if they're on a 3-acre lot and they're building 100 feet from property lines, we definitely would not require a survey.
Sure, that makes sense. Does this item go to the council?
No, it will not.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Marks.
Kelly, I'd like to follow up on Commissioner O'Grady's comments. Would it be unreasonable to ask a property owner or an applicant to survey prior to a project if we suspect there is encroachment?
Yes, that is what staff did in this case.
Right, but mm-hmm. that's not a standard policy.
It's not.
Okay.
It just has never become standard policy to require that.
Okay. Another question, I think this is probably for Steve. What are the plans since there is encroachment in this case, and there's encroachment on the whole block, mm-hmm. what are the plans for further infrastructure development?
On Marchand?
Correct, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there are no plans to widen Marchand. We've got such a backlog of road maintenance at these small rural roads, we really don't have any plans of widening or improving it any time in the near future.
Okay. Since Marchand happens to be a fairly direct pathway access to the park, does the city ever foresee a bike path or sidewalks or a trail or something for people to walk to the park?
We haven't studied any type of trail system through this area at this time.
Okay. What I'm getting at, if something like that comes up, what right does the city have? Because there are porches, there's landscaping, there are retaining walls, all in the city's right-of-way.
With the city subdividing in 1914 and creating all of these right-of-ways throughout Atascadero, and then the roads slowly being built over time, there are so many encroachments on these roads, it's unbelievable. And there's every road you go down there, there's plants or there's fences. And I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's a fact. And there's even some areas in Atascadero where the road was built, the actual surface paving was built outside the right-of-way, and it's actually on private property. There's quite a few incidences of that. So, if the world were perfect, this wouldn't occur, but it does occur all over Atascadero. So I would say if we developed an aggressive trail system and public access and pedestrian system, we would develop capital projects and go about designing the capital projects based on the Recreation and Parks Commission's and City Council's directions and move forward with projects to get the stuff out of the right-of-way and create our trails and access systems.
Okay, thank you.
If I could just clarify really quickly, there is no encroachments that are proposed by this project. This is right. All just a variance to the minimum setbacks. We're not talking about putting anything in the right-of-way. It's just varying the setback.
Commissioner Jett?
Yeah, that answers my question.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
I think one of the issues that we're looking at here is there would be a lot of environmental impacts if it was widened. However, a lot of people consider this the charm of Atascadero, the winding roads, narrow winding roads. And if they're not too wide, it does slow people down. I know I had difficulty finding a place to turn around, but again, it does slow the traffic down, and that is our charm.
Very good. I've got a question for you, Callie. So let's say a neighbor would like to add on to their house. They're going to have to come back to the commission with the same variance. Is that correct?
That's correct. And one of the findings that the Planning Commission has to make is actually that there are special circumstances on this lot, including the size, shape, topography, surroundings, or such other things that allow you to approve this variance. So if any...
Good evening. My name is David Chambers. I am the owner with my wife Lila at 8100 Marchant. The original plan was to have the addition 32 feet long by 24 feet wide, but after the site plan was done and the setback from my neighbor's Newlander's property, it would only be 27 feet wide and not 23. The intent of the project is like Callie said, to give my mother-in-law a place to live for a few more years. And there's basically, it's a real simple structure. I don't ever see Marchant being 50 feet wide. you'd have to take out my whole front yard. So there's utilities that are within that 50-foot setback. There's water meters. There's all kinds of utilities, and I don't really ever see that road being 50 feet wide. And it does slow traffic down by being a little bit more narrow. Basically, I'm just here to answer any questions somebody might have.
Thank you. Mr. Chambers, any questions? Sandy?
Mr. Chambers, the only question that I've got, and I know the answer to part of it, but are your immediate neighbors generally supportive of this project?
Yes, Mr. Newlander is here, and I believe he's wanting to speak on my behalf.
Okay.
Our neighbors across the street, Kent and Jill Lowe, couldn't be here tonight, but they gave us their support.
Very good. Thank you.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Due to the changes that were made on the maps, the figures were not quite correct because I checked with the planner. So what is the total square footage that you're adding?
It's 24 by 27. So I'm not a math whiz. So
okay.
Somewhere around 668 square feet.
Okay. And what's close. The existing size of the house right now?
1,170 square feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Commissioner Moreno?
So 24 by 27, the depth of it, you're saying, is 27 feet, like from the front to the back?
24 feet.
That's 24. So you're saying that's 27. And when we spoke yesterday, we were talking about the house to the fence being 29 and then about another 3 feet to the property line. So, and maybe I'm just not getting my directions straight. When you say length in here, you mean horizontally, like looking at the house, not going back?
The way that staff is actually looking at this, I think that probably staff and the applicant haven't been haven't communicated enough about this side setback. What the survey shows is that there's a 28.75 setback from the edge of the building to the property line. This would only provide for a 23.75-foot addition. If we go out on site and are able to measure it and see that something larger fits, then we're fine doing that as long as that 5-foot setback is maintained.
Okay, so right now staff is thinking it's 23.75 and Mr. Chambers is thinking it's 27, and you'll figure out who's got the right thing or somewhere in between.
That. Yes, as long as we maintain a 5-foot side setback,
right.
The addition can actually be designed however
right.
they want.
Okay,
and
thank
if
you.
I could clarify that, what you're saying, Callie, is that we're not really voting on the length of the house, we're voting on the variance only.
Exactly.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Chambers? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Newlander, did you choose to speak?
I'm Vaughn Newlander. My wife, Peggy, and I have lived in the home next door to the Chambers since 1961. The house is immediately to the south. We also own the lots that run behind our home and the Chambers home to the west, which front on San Francisco. We have no qualms whatsoever with the original proposal. As far as the encroachment, they built a retaining wall right next to our property line, we're happy. We have no qualms whatsoever. I can only state that couldn't be better neighbors. And I would hope so that the city, the planning commission, the staff, the city engineer, Steve, would approve the plan as originally planned, or the reduction to 27 feet. The 23 feet, as proposed, is not an adequate building. Would you, any of you, like to have your mother-in-law or your mother live in a place that's that damn small and be handicapped? I don't think it's fair. I think these people have bent over backwards to help you and give you the facts. And as being a citizen of Atascadero, being involved with incorporation, many elections here, and planning for the future of the community with my active role as the governmental review for...
Fits in that area. We're definitely able to approve that as long as it meets that 5 feet.
Okay. Let's see if we can approach it another way. What if... I can't think of the correct real estate terminology, Roberta, but if the property line is adjusted and the site You know,
a lot line adjustment.
Lot, thank you.
You're
yes. Could there be a lot line adjustment then that would maintain the integrity of the city's setbacks in order to facilitate this request?
Yes, they could do that. I know that this lot is smaller than the minimum lot size. I believe the one next door is as well. So it would have to be an equal area exchange, but it would be a possibility.
Okay, but so that we could move forward today, we could still insist on the 5-foot setback, but then that process would be a separate process that the applicant would undertake with his neighbor. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Do we have a motion?
I'll make
actually,
a motion.
I just wanted to say that this project is not going to make it's not going to make the condition worse. In fact, it probably has less impact than the existing residents because of the way the road turns there. So it's I don't see a problem with it.
Any further discussion? Commissioner O'Grady?
Yeah, yes, one other thing. On page 129, the staff report says the addition is being proposed parallel to the existing residence and would not encroach any further towards the street than the existing residence does. Problem is that the language on condition 4 doesn't say that. And if Commissioner O'Keefe is going to make a motion, what I'd ask is that condition 4 be changed as follows and simply state that the new addition shall not encroach further towards the street beyond a straight line extension of the front wall of the house. The addition shall be constructed consistent with Exhibit B.
Would you repeat that?
Sure. I'm scratching that first sentence, a minimum 5-foot setback shall be maintained from the right of way. And I'm saying retain the new addition shall not encroach further towards the street. And then I'm adding beyond a straight line extension of the front of the house.
But isn't that exactly what it is right now with the way the plans are drawn?
Yeah. Oh, it is. But that could change, and there could be a porch added or some appurtenance that projects. And I just, if the intent is not to encroach any further, then I'd like the condition to say that.
Does staff have that? Because that's basically then with the plans.
Yes, I think that is a clearer way of saying it.
Okay.
Commissioner O'Keefe, would you like to make a motion?
Okay, I recommend that we approve resolution PC 2008-0043, approving PLN 2008-1301. Variance 2008-0014, allowing an addition within the front setback of a residentially zoned property based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, with modification in condition number 4. Was requested by Commissioner O'Grady, and that does reflect the plans as presented.
I'll second it. So, motion by Commissioner O'Keefe, second by Fonzie. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, Suzanne. Good luck with that. It concludes the public hearing portion, and we'll bring it to the community development staff reports.
No reports.
Okay. Any commissioner comments or reports?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mr. Kahn, I have a question about the long-term storage of light poles on Highway 41 east of San Gabriel. Whose are they? What are they doing there? When are they going to go away? What are they for, et cetera?
I have been wondering the same thing. But to tell you the truth, I believe that that is a state right-of-way and that they belong to the 10141
ordinary lines, and I can see where it's not obvious. And, you know, I'd like not to have commissions a half century from now have to deal with some mistakes that we made these days. So I just ask my colleagues on the commission if what their thoughts might be about doing things a little more professionally and formally.
A question for staff. Is that something the commission can put into place, the requirement for surveying of lots every time you get a proposal?
Well, I don't think that's actually within your scope. That's more of a building department issue, although you can clearly make recommendations if you see a concern. I think right now we haven't had a problem with surveys. Staff does have the discretion to call for them when needed. The problem that we've seen with just blanket requirements is that every permit then just has a requirement before you even submit through the door, you got to get a survey. It just becomes a standard requirement. It tends to affect and slow down projects. The council for a number of years has been very interested in trying to speed up the development process so that the requirements are not onerous. So that's one of the reasons we don't just require blanket surveys and blanket title reports and things like that. You know, those things are useful, and there's sometimes information you can glean from them. Problem is, as you require them of every project, you know, 99% of them, it just becomes kind of additional requirement that costs time and money. So that's why we don't do it, although staff does have the discretion. The building inspectors will call for surveys out in the field if they're not comfortable. It seems like that's working okay.
Okay. Commissioner Jack.
I would concur with that because the first thing we're going to do is we're going to drive up our costs. We're going to drive up the costs of the individuals trying to make the changes. And it's kind of one of those things. It's unfortunate that it all got started, but a half a century later, you know, as Jerry Clay would say, if it ain't broke, why fix it? I'm for leaving it the way it is.
Did I see your hand, Commissioner Marks? Yes.
In this case, you did require a survey. Would that be an unreasonable request in further, as we review, or as you review, further projects that have some of the same conditions that this one had, not set back as it should have been, that sort of thing. And another reason I ask, I think we've had one other project where the project had encroached or was not properly set back. It actually wasn't encroaching, but it had not properly been set back according to code. When the survey was done, there had to be another lot line adjustment, or maybe the lot line was not adjusted, but the survey revealed, as this one did, that the neighboring property, the fence and driveway were not lined up with the property line. So,
yeah.
I guess that was that a question? I don't know.
Well,
perhaps not.
just to expand a little bit on that,
okay.
I think this does show that staff does have the discretion to call for it. So this is one where it looked tight. Staff called for the survey, and that's why we're here tonight. Mm-hmm. I think there have been some other cases where we've had, you know, discovered problems with other surveys, and maybe staff-wise we'll take a look at just our policy and make sure all our staff members are clear and comfortable with when and, you know, they should be calling for surveys. Because when it's a tight call, we do definitely want to make sure we're not building things in the wrong spot. But we just don't want a blanket policy where every project has to do it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. May I ask, what triggered the survey on this one?
I think it was staff's review looking at GIS,
okay.
The aerial photos.
Very
we can
good.
Tell pretty close with that how close something is to a property line.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Warren, is it the case that new development would never put us in this situation, that it would be at the right distance from the right-of-way and from the...
Well, if it's truly new development on a new subdivision track, that's all engineered. We already have surveys, so we wouldn't have that problem there. Most projects that are on existing colony lots, if they require grading or engineering, if it's a new house, typically we'll get a stamped engineered drawing as well. So typically it's only when we see an addition or an accessory structure, those typically don't have the engineered site plans, that then we do get a question, and that's when, and this
having all of the relevant lines and setbacks were thoroughly delineated. So at least maybe we're all a little bit more sensitive to that right now. I know I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to some of those things so that and the other reason I brought it up is because I can't tell you how many of my friends have gotten into arguments with neighbors when things have been built on their property or they built it on the other person's property because there was no survey to look at, and now it's a war. And, you know, we need to avoid things like that. So, anyway, those are some of my reasons.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
I have a question. When the survey was done, was the fence in the right position? So you couldn't use that. So I agree with you, Commissioner O'Grady, that there have been a lot of issues that come up, and people put fences on. They put sheds and things like that. It showed with regard to the changes that were made in the plans that they had because they just didn't have the right information.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I have a question off this target. When we approve a tree cutting in order to put a house in an area, can we condition the project that the tree doesn't come out until the house is being built?
You could probably add that condition. Yeah. Typically, we don't. Normally, what the standard is that the tree removal is tied to some sort of the grading permit because they usually have to pay their tree removal fees, and most applicants want to take care of that all at once. But some do want to get the tree removed, and there is a process by which they can remove them earlier. If there is a reason the commission would want to make sure that the trees didn't get removed, for example, if the project ended up not getting built in the long run, you could add that condition. It isn't something we've done in the past, but it's possible to do.
Marshalls comes to mind up at the outlet mall that, you know, if we cut it, they'll come, and we cut it, and they didn't come. So I guess my goal would be to not let the trees come out until they pull their permits, you know, they pay their fees, and the project is well underway. Because, like you said, that project could change. Somebody could buy the lot. They could come in, reconfigure the house or build the tree or the house around the tree or, you know. So thank you for answering that.
Commissioner Jett?
Pamela, have faith. Marshalls will come.
Okay.
Can we quote you on this?
Commissioner O'Keefe.
When?
Okay, any other commissioner comments or reports? Seeing none, let's move on to the director's report.
Yes, just a couple update items. The issue of drive-throughs was on the council's last agenda, but they didn't get to it, so it's been continued now to their next city council meeting, which is, I believe, September 9th. So we're hoping they get to it on September 9th. I believe everybody got their name badges that they needed.
Thank
so
you.
Annette got right on that for you, so thanks, Annette. I also sent out you received a copy of a memo that we sent to the council on our standards for pathways and trails. That's basically just an informational item. We're not looking for any review or comment from the Planning Commission, but the City Council wanted to know what the standards were for trails. Public Works has been working on those standards. Those aren't officially adopted at this point. They do have to, they're going to be incorporated in the new Public Works standards, but those are very similar to some of the trail standards we've used in the past. Any development projects that come through, like plan developments or general plan amendments, we're going to be using those as standards. Probably Eagle Ranch specific plan would be an example of that. And then just speaking of the Eagle Ranch specific plan, we are working with the applicants on scheduling a community meeting for September. We'll be noticing probably that side of town. I think we're going to use basically a mile buffer off the property lines to notice for it. We're going to set that up where it won't be an official council meeting, but it'll be a notice public meeting where all the Planning Commission, Parks Commission, and City Council will be able to attend, so you can hear what's going on. You won't be able to take any action, and we'll be encouraging you not to participate, but you'll be able to observe. So we're working on that. The Walmart project, we're still trying to get the EIR started on that. The first step is to send out what's called the request for proposals so that we can get consultant proposals. We're still working with both Walmart and the Rotman Group to get their project description nailed down so we can send out that RFP. Walmart, it looks like that thing's going to move forward. They had to do a little bit of a redesign just to help the financing of the project. But that is moving forward. They are putting a lot of effort into the architecture and engineering. So we are confident that that project will come together here. Yes?
Warren, then it is designed to assist them to get the funding, because I know funding has been an issue for the theater as well as for the whole project.
Yeah, we've been working closely with them on not only the design of the project, but with different funding options and helping them with some connections with some local banks. And it looks like the pieces are coming together. They're not all together yet, but there's definitely progress.
Good.
Yeah, good news. Commissioner Hetherington.
Any chance it would be the second solar-powered theater in the community? I mean, there's rebates, so I'm not sure if they realize that they can
get right now, that's not part of the plans.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that.
The Eagle Creek meeting. I missed the date on that. I'm sorry.
Eagle Ranch. I didn't give you the date yet. Do we know yet? September 25th. I think it's going to start at 6:30 at the Lake Pavilion.
Great, thank you.
And we'll get out. You'll get formal notices. But, yeah, you can reserve that on your calendar. And I think the next thing is your next meeting. It's September 2nd, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Commissioner O'Grady?
The request for proposals on the Walmart-Rotman project is... is that going to be the prospective bidders? Will that be a pre-approved list, or is anybody and everybody eligible to submit, or how is that going to be handled?
We do have a list right now that we've prepared. It's very lengthy. We're trying to contact any and everybody that is qualified to prepare EIRs in California, so I think the list is over 50. We're trying to cast a broad net and get the best possible consultant out there.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
One last comment. For the drive-through at the City Council, has there been any outreach to the Obesity Task Force in San Luis County?
No, but if you have a contact, you want to pass that along to us, we definitely can make a contact with them.
I'll be happy to do that.
And one last question. I understand at the last City Council meeting there was a blanket extension for all of the projects that were not going forward. Could you tell us the ramifications of that?
Yeah, that applies to building permits that are not yet issued, so they're either in some sort of plan check or they're ready to issue but have not been picked up. The way the municipal code is written, you have to continue to take action on these building permit applications every 180 days. They can't sit either outside our office or in our office for more than 180 days or they expire. You can ask for a one-time extension that gets you another 180 days. So let's say you have a permit for some development project that is approved, but you're not ready to build it because of the economy. You basically have 1 year with that extension before you have to pull it or it expires. Once it expires, you have to start over again, and there's new fees and new regulations. And so it can be, especially with these planned development projects, that sometimes they took, a year and a half to put together all the entitlements.
those are going to be hard to reassemble once again. So what the council directed staff to do is to prepare a code text amendment that'll allow these new, and this applies to single family, residential, multifamily residential, commercial, and industrial new permits. It's not every addition or re-roof permit, but those major permits. Those permits, if they pay off any of their outstanding plan check fees, they can then get a time extension to June 30th, 2010. So basically another 18 months. So the council's given us direction for that. We're going to bring back the actual code text at their next meeting, and we're already starting to put together the letters and the information for the developers so that they can get these extensions.
Commissioner Jack?
Question, have you had any response, any comments back from any of the permit holders, if you will? I mean, has it been a positive thing or a non-event so far?
Well, we came up with the idea based on input we had gotten from developers. So there's three or four out there that are very interested in it and actually gave us comments about what they thought would be useful. We haven't sent out any letters, so we haven't had any recent comments in the last week or so, but I do know of at least three or four that are very interested in participating at this point. I imagine there's more.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
If you read the staff report,
okay.
It will be a good reality check for
it probably
for all of you
will.
To take a look at that.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Meeting adjourned at 8:58.
Was it the last 6 months? Right. Yeah, it was actually...